a.m. and we are located.
You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Today, on the Word of Truth Revealed.
I'm not even going to dig in how deep that is and where it comes from. I just want to break it in Jesus' name. It's called doubt, and I could go deep into doubt. You can walk around the authentic for years and still doubt. Got to be verified before I move. Unless somebody else shows up, bam, here's the business. Bam, you can do it for me. Bam, take the 100 grand. Bam, I trust you with my life. You got to get past that. We're bigger than that.
Celebrating 30 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Dismantling the Unholy Trinity. Today, Bishop will be teaching from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 29.
We got to get past doubt. We doubt each other. We even doubt each other's resources. Glory to God. You selling ice, I'm selling ice. I don't trust your money, though. I had a man come to me and he said, would you like to buy for $90,000 my cleaning business? I'm talking about a lot of cleaners. You know, the full whole ship for 90 grand. Well, $90,000 to me in 1989 was a whole lot of money. Now I would be like, that's the biggest deal ever. The man came to me, he happened to be Caucasian. He said, listen, man, I've been watching you do business here. You got good, I'll sell it to you for 90 grand. But I promise you, you need to put a Caucasian person at the front. I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, I had a friend and both of us started out in business and he did a better job than me. They had to drive past him to get to me and my business grew. And I believe it was because of the color of his skin from his own people. This is what the man told me. I said, what are you talking about, man? He said, for some reason, your people don't trust each other when it comes to money. I think it's been put in our DNA from years ago. But I come against it in Jesus' name. That's why I speak directly to it. Just because a person look like you don't mean you can't trust their business. So I'm going to break doubt. Anybody can show up of a different ethnicity, here's 100 grand. But when they look like you, or if they're dark, you begin to doubt their authenticity. I'm not even going to dig in how deep that is and where it comes from. I just want to break it in Jesus' name. It's called doubt, and I could go deep into doubt. You can walk around the authentic for years and still doubt. Got to be verified before I move. Unless somebody else shows up, bam, here's the business. Bam, you can do it for me. Bam, take the 100 grand. Bam, I trust you with my life. We got to get past that. We're bigger than that. I'm getting quiet stuff now. Y'all with me? Okay, I got to do it, man. Who else gonna do it? And then we got unbelief. This is where we just totally deny it. And this is what Thomas is in the text. This is a man who walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, who watched him do miracle signs and wonders. But got carried away and said, unless I see it, I just won't believe it. It's a state of unbelief. Can't accept something that relates to faith or promises or even potential or even positive change. We've got to see it before we move. I really believe our church would move exponentially if we got rid of unbelief. I believe God wants us to overcome it. Prolonged fear will always produce unbelief. Prolonged doubt will always manifest in unbelief. It is a sin to operate in unbelief. God can deal with a little fear. He can deal with doubt. But unbelief says, I can't move. There is no faith in unbelief at all. Don't slip into that realm. As we look at the text, it's powerful. Verse 19, same day, evening, being the first day like today of the week, when the doors were shut, the doors were shut. This is verse 19. The doors were shut where the disciples were. The doors were shut. I want them to go with me. Okay, thank you. The doors were shut where the disciples were. And we got to make sure we're not door shutters versus door openers. To your ministry, to the next dimension. Are you opening doors or are you closing doors? The scripture says that the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled. So I want you to think about it. We got all of these people in the sanctuary and the doors are shut. Nobody can come in. And the reason they were shut is because of fear. Fear shuts doors, even doors of opportunity. Nothing can come in and nothing can go out. So, are we locked up? Are we locked up because of people? They were afraid because of the Jews, possibly because of the way they saw their Savior massacred. The way they saw them beat Jesus unrecognizable. So the disciples went in, hid themselves, and locked the doors because of fear of the Jews. Jesus now is not intimidated by locked doors or fear. Well, let me help you here because it's important. Fear doesn't keep him from showing up. Glory to God. Many of us have been locked in a prison because when you're locked up, it's like a prison or confinement. He still comes through the corridors to find us wherever we are. Though they were in a room locked up, not in the upper room yet, in a room locked up because of fear, here comes Jesus. And the first thing he says to them is not rebuke their fear. He says, peace be with you. Peace. In other words, I need nothing missing, nothing scattered, and nothing broken in this moment, because what I'm about to do, you're going to need peace to deal with it. Glory to God. Some of us like to hit stuff head on. But a lot of times we're dealing with fear that has locked up our destiny, and God wants it broken. And what breaks fear is peace. What breaks anxiety is peace. Jesus wanted them to know, I'm giving you peace because I'm about to take you on a ride here. And if you don't have peace, you're going to be thrown off of this ride and you're not going to be able to settle down. The Bible says when he had said that, he showed them his hands and he showed them his side. So he's about to show them his wounds. And you really don't know how strong you are in God until somebody can unveil their wound to you and you still love them. Amen. Listen to me. We think we're unified in church because we gather together. But it is not that we gather together that unifies us. Can you see a leader's wounds and still love them? Thank you, Lord. Amen. Can you see one of your leader's wounds now and still love him? Or do you want your leader to be superhuman? Do you want your leader to be above board on everything? Or can they show you their wound? I went through this. This is something that I went through and I'm bearing the scar of it. Yet I still am that I am by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Notice Jesus is not like them. See, the room is locked. He's of another power. He has greater powers. He's showing people who are submitted to him his wounds. Can you handle your leader's wound, not your friend's? Thank you, Lord. We want to know how deep we are and how great we are as a church. Listen to what I'm saying. We have a president with many wounds. He has many wounds and the church loves him. But no pastor can do what the president does and the church come back Sunday. What's wrong with America? Love your president. But if it happened to turn into somebody that you see with you every day that does what he does, can they bear the wound to you and you still show up and pay your taxes or tithes? Can your mother or father show you their wound and you still show them respect? This is what we see here in the text. He did not share his wound with everybody in the community. This is what we got a problem with. Anytime somebody got a wound, we feel like we need to identify with the wound. But he didn't do that with everybody. Only his disciples. If you're ever a leader in the ministry, please don't share your wound with everybody just because they got the same one. Are they your disciple? There is a time for that. It should be exclusive. It shouldn't be open. It should be behind closed doors or in a place where you can trust. What does this got to do with healing? Yeah. Got everything to do with healing. Because if I can't show you my wound and you still work with me, we can never get this job done. Amen. I'm going to show you my wounds. I want you to see that this is really me, the one that hung on the cross. So look at me. He takes his clothes off and he shows his side. When I dug deeper, The text implies that you could see his rib cage. You can actually reach in and touch his rib. That the hole in his finger was so noticeable, you could stick your finger through it. It wasn't something hidden. I don't recommend anybody doing that, because people ain't like they were 2,000 years ago. Amen. And you ain't Jesus. Amen. I'm trying to show you something in the text. This is real transparent here and where we need to go as a church. I know you think everybody love you, but they can't handle your wounds. And a lot of us, we think this is ministry when we can talk about how hard it was for us when we were hurt. That's your testimony. That's not your ministry. I don't need your ass or your ash. I need beauty. God transfers. He takes ashes, asses, and he gives you beauty for it. So don't stick it out to me every time you see me. I don't need your ashes all the time. Did he transfer it from ashes to beauty. That's the measure of our Lord. Not what you came out of, but is there any exchange for some beauty in that same area? Have you gotten over it? Have you gotten over it? I was abused. My grandmother was losing her mind, so I reminded her of her husband, which was built like me. I was the dark one, and she, I don't know, she just, I guess she thought I was like him, I guess. They used to fight all the time. So she used to come at me. I could dodge it, but sometimes she got me. Sometimes. Come on, Grandma. I let her do it too, man. I let her grab me, and she'd be trying to pop my eyeballs out. I let her, you know, I let her do it. She grabbed me, man. I was stronger than her, but she grabbed me, and she was trying to scratch me, and I just let her, I let her handle it. But it did traumatize me to, because it happened for a while. Sometimes if she was around Greece, she would try to, you know, like she was going to threaten to throw it on me or something like that. But several times I had to flee and go down the street to the McCullough's house. Every time I went, your grandma at you again? Yes, they would give me spaghetti. But when I became a pastor, a lot of elderly people joined our church. I didn't know I was traumatized until they were walking up on me wanting to kiss me. And when that was happening, I had this resistance, like, whoa, I didn't know it was there. They never knew, but I'm telling you, when they would say, ooh, you're so beautiful, I was like, something in me rose up, and I had to go to God without saying nothing and say, what is that? And he took me to a moment. Can I share that with you? And you still love me? That's what I'm trying to show you. Wounds. You have them, right? I've had 1,000 people to tell me their wounds. But if I did it, this is where it is right here. Could you still love me and come to church? Or would it bother you so much because I'm flawed? That's what I'm trying to show you, where we are as a church and where the church needs to go. We think we're unified because we come together, but you're not unified until you can handle some deep stuff. Here's the word, very powerful, verse 24. Now Thomas called the twin. Notice that. He's called the what? Twin. He's one of the 12, but he's also called the twin here in the text. What do you mean twin? What is his twinship? Was it his twin that pulled him out of the assembly? Was it his association with the twin that didn't allow him to assemble with the 12? It intrigued me, so I had to go and do some research on the twin. Write it down. There is a spiritual twin syndrome, and there are pros and cons of having an identical twin. Here's the pros. When you have a identical twin, you have less friends. You don't need as many friends when you have an identical twin. You will isolate yourself from others if you have a twin. I don't need to associate with all of you all because I have my twin with me. They understand me. They know me. They know my wounds. They know we associate well. Could it be the twin or the twin syndrome that pulled the man out of the group and had him isolated when Jesus showed up? I want to ask you a question now. How many of us have twins, somebody identical, somebody thinks, speaks, history that pulls us away from the assembly? That when Jesus shows up, we're missing. Crucial moment. He wasn't there when Jesus showed up. And I'm here to tell you, he was off. Well, he was there most of the time. Listen, at this moment, he needed to be there. But he wasn't there, and he's identified in the scripture as twin. Another pro, this is a positive for having a twin, is comprehension is easier. So I don't really need to talk to no one else out of this relationship because they understand and they can help me to understand. Twin. So there's another level of comprehension and understanding because this is what twins say. I don't have to go down the hallway to my brother or sister. I don't have to go down the street or even talk to a teacher because we talk to each other and we comprehend faster. The third pro is accountability. When you have a twin and you mess up, twin is the first one to say, you shouldn't do that. Almost like a walking conscience. That's a pro. That's how twins operate. First accountability partner. Your cons. With the twin, everything is shared. There is no privacy. Even clothes. Usually the same clothes worn. And after a while, you get tired of it. This is what I did the research on twins, pros and cons. This is what twins say. We wore the same clothes. My mom bought me the same clothes that she bought her. And after a while, I got tired of it. I wanted my own. We had to wear the same stuff all the time. We started arguing with each other. It's right there. Have to share everything, even secrets. Can twin really help you? No, not really. But it feels good to share it. Here's another con. Twins go through separation anxiety. If one has to go over there, heart beats long. When you coming back? I can't function here. Fear kicks in when there's a twin. Doubt and even unbelief. When are you coming back? I'm coming back. You said that last time. Here's the third con. They struggle with the leadership spot. Who's really in charge up in here? Well, I was born 6 minutes before you. That don't make you my leader. And just because you're the oldest, 6 minutes older, doesn't mean you can tell me what to do. There's always a challenge for the leadership spot when you're dealing with a twin. Now, one of our members here has a biological twin, an identical twin. And so I'm not coming against that. I believe it is a lovely thing to see. But I wanted to show you something because the text calls Thomas a twin, and I've never ever seen anybody examine that. I believe this association twin pulled him away from the assembly, had him busy doing something. I don't know, I'm not saying it's illegal, but it had him doing something. When Jesus showed up, he was out of place. I want to ask you something. Has your twin pulled you out? Well, maybe it's a business opportunity that's my twin. I just feel it. I feel it. I feel it. We're moving in the same direction. So instead of getting with the assembly, I think I'll go over here. What if it's a family member, somebody that you really love, right? And instead of focusing on the church, you are worried. Fear, doubt, and unbelief has pulled you away from the assembly when you should be sitting there to get strength and how to deal with this, that, and the other. You're doing other stuff and you're not getting what you need in the moment. I noticed when I was dealing with the infantry, I was in the infantry in the Marines. I don't know why, with my mindset, I wound up carrying a gun and a backpack with boots in the mud. I believe I was supposed to have a briefcase when I go to work. I'm still blown away with me walking through the FIBA, dealing with all this stuff, working with compasses, flying through with helicopters. What in the world? How did I get here? I believe God allowed me to walk through those things so I can teach on spiritual warfare.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, Dismantling the Unholy Trinity, visit the media section on the Truth Reveal app or our website at www.truthreveal.org.
Ladies, save the date. The 20th Anniversary Awaken Women's Conference is happening September 26th and 27th. This year's theme is Perception. Come ready for powerful worship, inspiring messages, and a fresh vision for your life. Mark your calendars and stay tuned for details. Hotel accommodations are available at the Hampton Inn and Suites located off Palm Bay Road. Use group code PWC to reserve your room by Friday, September 12th. Accommodations are also available at the Crown Plaza Melbourne Oceanfront. Use group code WMA to reserve your room by Wednesday, September 3rd. Spots are filling up fast, ladies, so grab your combo package before August 31st. Attention, new believers. Registration is now open for the Believers Enrichment Spiritual Training, Best Class. Sign up today using the TR app, website, or by scanning the QR code in the foyer.
Stay in the loop with Truth Revealed. Text YES to 87447 to receive updates, announcements, tag up prayers, and event information sent directly to your phone. Don't miss a moment. Stay connected with all that's happening at Truth Revealed.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.